You got the laptop up there. There we go. I'm going to do a little bit of bragging this morning here. My son Aaron is starring in his junior high musical this year called The Newsies, or Newsies Junior, actually. I'm kind of sad that he's not here kind of for me to brag upon this morning, or me to hear he's kind of sick this morning. But he's playing Snyder, the crooked and sinister warden of the refuge, which is an orphanage that's filthy and horrible in that day. But the story of the Newsies is a very interesting story. It's actually based on a true story of the newsboys' strike in 1899. It's kind of a David and Goliath story about how some poor, generally uneducated boys who sold newspapers for a living stood up to some of the biggest names in publishing back in those days, including the famous Joseph Pulitzer. Before his edition, before Aaron had his edition, I personally had never seen the actual play before and only vaguely remembered that this event happened. I mean, I remember that this strike did happen and these newsboys did rise up against these publishers. But what I found was interesting was the line that they used as part of the audition. It was very interesting that there's a section in the play where the bigwigs, the big executives at the newspaper companies in those days, were trying to figure out how to sell papers and get more circulation, right? They wanted to make sure they get more circulation. And some thought that getting more sensational big headlines would make their papers sell better. Some thought, well, maybe it's big, bold pictures and big imagery that might sell their papers more. And in fact, one person in that play asked, without flashy photos or headlines, how are we supposed to sell more papers? To which one person plays, well, we don't sell papers. Newsies sell papers. And that was a very bold statement. I'm not sure, again, if that was true or not. That's what was in the play. But it's very true that it was the newsboys, those newsies that were out on the streets that were hawking these newspapers that really sold the papers. I mean, there could have been dull headlines, but they're on the corners. Extra, extra, read all about it, right? I mean, that's what it was for those days when the newspapers were coming out. It was the kids hawking the newspapers on the street that inspired many people to buy those newspapers. It was those that sold these papers that made the stories interesting. I mean, those that sold papers took a headline like that and said, well, how can I make this interesting? And so they would embellish it a little bit and try to sell the papers. In fact, they might even, I'm not sure if they did this or not, they might even fib on the story a little bit just to kind of get that sensationalism out there, right? Most of the time it was the vocal and flamboyant news salesmen that would sell the most papers. It wasn't those that just sat on the sidelines or in a booth somewhere that would sell the papers. I mean, I'm sure there were those days that there were newspaper stores and booths that back there where they could sell newspapers, but it was those kids on the street saying, hey, look at this, and putting it right in the face of other people's and saying, hey, we got something exciting to tell you, that sold the papers. It's kind of like those vendors at a ballpark. You know, get your popcorn here, or here I'm selling these hot dogs. You know, they are the true salesmen and women, right? They're hawking their sales there. I mean, you can buy your popcorn and your hot dogs at different stands along the way, but it's those people that are making that announcement, that are making that news relevant. They're the ones that make the product appealing to others. It's that boldness, that excitement of them or like of the newsies that sold the papers as much as the news was it about them inside of them. It was the newsies that took the news and made it exciting, made it relevant to people, right? Well, we are part of our Christmas season now, and this year, as I started our Advent series, I based it on the song, The Little Drummer Boy. And I continue to ask the question, what is my gift for Christmas? What gift do I have to offer God this year? Just as this drummer boy offered his gift of playing his drum for the baby Jesus. But equally important, what is my gift that God is giving to me, to us at Christmas time? Because God wants us to receive gifts from him just as much as he wants us to give. And I told you that I'm using the word honor kind of as a kind of an outline, kind of a cross T of this drummer boy of how people gave gifts both at Christmas time and also receive the gifts that first Christmas, as told in the Bibles. We looked at the first week, we looked at Mary's humanity or humility and how humble she was when God chose her for this great honor. And the gift that she gave that Christmas, that humility. And we in turn looked at how Jesus gave us his humility when he left behind the glories of heaven for the humbleness of the stable. Last week we looked at the O, which stood for Joseph's obedience. When he was faced with divorcing Mary or obeying the angel, he did what the angel told him to do. We also looked how Jesus' obedience to his Father gave us a gift. When he obeyed his Father and did whatever his Heavenly Father asked him to do, even if that meant dying on the cross. He prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but yours be done," it says. And we too, like Mary in her humility and Joseph in his obedience, can give those kind of gifts to God at this holiday season. And we can also receive Jesus' humility, his obedience to us as gifts as well. Well, this week we're on the N. And I had to think about what kind of gift that we can give to God that starts with the word N. Okay, and what we can receive from God. And so I, again, was reading the Christmas story. I've read it 1,000 times. Well, maybe not 1,000 times. Definitely several hundred times. But I was trying to figure out what is something that we can receive from God and what is something that we can give to God at Christmas time that starts with N. And then I read again the line from Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all that'll be for all the people.'" Great news. And later on in that same passage of scripture, it talks about how the shepherds how the shepherds also proclaimed that news as well. It says, "When they," the shepherds, "had seen him," Jesus, the baby Jesus, "they spread the news concerning him about what had been told this child." And so this morning we're going to talk about how this gift of the shepherds' newsmaking is a gift that the shepherds were able to give to God by spreading this news to others, but also how God gave us this news as well through the angels. And we're going to start by talking about the angels first. We're going to talk about the shepherds' newsmaking here in a minute, but we're going to talk about how the angels first gave us the news and then how the shepherds also became newsmakers as well. So let's read our passage here from Luke chapter 2, again, a very familiar passage. If you've seen the Peanuts Christmas, you've heard this passage. You probably have seen this elsewhere as well. But again, this famous passage about the shepherds, we sang about it this morning. Let's read it here from the scriptures. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." This night must have been exciting in so many different ways. I mean, ordinary shepherds during their job suddenly got interrupted, unexpectedly thrust into the greatest story ever told. Shepherding was just a time-honored tradition and profession that was much needed in that agricentric culture. Sheep were needed for breeding and for clothing and for sacrifice in a temple. And shepherds themselves was an honorable profession, but the shepherds themselves became kind of dishonorable, disreputable. in their persona. It was to these ruffians, we might call them, that God chose to reveal this first Christmas gift. After all the centuries, God's promised Messiah had come. This anointed one who would come and save his people from their sins. And more so, he was going to be born nearby in the town of Bethlehem. This was a gift not just for the shepherds, but for all the people, right? For all the people of Israel had been looking for the promise of the Savior since the beginning of time, pretty much. Since it was promised there in the book of Genesis outside the Garden of Eden. Many prophets down through the ages had prophesied and predicted that the Messiah would come. To Abraham, God said, "Through you, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed." He promised the same thing to Isaac and Jacob along the line. Later on, to David, he said this, "When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and he will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build the house for my name, and he will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Talking prophetically about Jesus here as well. Last week we looked at the prophecy from Isaiah that Matthew refers to about the virgin being with child and his name being called Emmanuel. And next week we're going to talk about the prophecy from Micah chapter 5 verse 2 in the wise men when it says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me the one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." All these prophecies are about the Messiah who would come. This was good news. This was great joy. And it wasn't just for the royalty or the elite. It wasn't just for the upper class of the world. It was for all the peoples of the earth. All the world would be glad to hear this good news. In fact, no news would be better. No message could surpass it. This long-awaited announcement could not have come at a better time in history. And not only was this wonderful news, but it was delivered in a spectacular way, wasn't it? I mean, the sky bursts forth with glorious light from heaven. The midnight gloom instantly turned into a blazing brilliance. Angelic beings in a joyful chorus announcing and declaring God's majesty and presence to those upon the hillside there. Sleepy shepherds now wide awake with this word of this exciting event which had transpired in their own time, in their very midst. Their initial fear was now replaced with wonder and excitement. I mean, it's one thing to read about it. It's another thing to experience it. To be there must have been something. And this was a news that should have been shouted from the mountaintops. In fact, it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says, "There is good news from the city of Zion. Shout it as loud as you can from the highest mountain. Don't be afraid. Shout it to the towns of Judah. Your God is here. Look, the Lord God, the powerful Lord God is coming to rule with his mighty arm. He brings with him what he has taken in war and rewards his people. The Lord cares for his nation just as the shepherds care for their flocks. He carries the lambs in his arms while gently leading the mother sheep." I mean, this announcement was so important, it should have been shouted out upon the mountaintops. One of the songs we often sing at Christmas time is the "Go Tell It on the Mountain." And for the longest time, I thought that was just a witnessing song. We need to just go tell about Jesus, to witness to others. But it actually is a Christmas song that Jesus is born. I mean, I don't know how I missed it for all those years, that Jesus Christ is born. This was the message that God gave to us at Christmas. This was the message that should have been shouted from mountaintops. So it was just humbly proclaimed in this, well, I guess humbly, but it was proclaimed in the hilltops over Bethlehem. Have you heard this message? Most of you, I think, you know the story of Christmas. But has the news actually reached your heart? Has the headlines made an impact upon your life? I know one of the things I like doing in my spare time, but throughout the day, is what I like to do is get on my phone, and I have a news app on my phone, and I love looking at headlines and reading some news stories. I do this probably at least once a day, sometimes twice or more a day, is just get on the line, because I like to know what's going on in the world, right? I'm not sure about you, but having a newspaper once a day is not enough for me. So I get on my news feed, And I want to find out what's going on. I want to find out what's happening in the world. In fact, I was just on this morning, and I guess the person that planned the bomb for Lockerbie, the plane that went down in 88, got arrested and is now in U.S. custody type thing. That's the headlines today, if you haven't heard that already. And there's other headlines there that I read that are very as much shocking. Another Facebook or a Twitter has been released about how they banned Trump and all that. So there's a lot of news feeds out there, not a lot of things, you know. But this news is very important because the headlines are designed to draw you in. They're sensational. They're eye-catching, right? And sometimes when you read through news feeds like that, you say, oh, that's a great headline. I want to know how they fill out that headline. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes the headlines don't match what the story's all about, right? I mean, they say a sensational thing, and then, well, yeah, they've kind of touched on it. And I think, well, why didn't they touch on that point? Or why didn't they do that point? I mean, that's what I wanted from the headlines. That's what I thought I wanted to get. I don't know about you, but when I'm reading headlines, I have to stop sometimes and read the articles, and they don't match the story. Or I don't tell the whole story. But these angels made headlines to the shepherds. But these shepherds didn't take the angels' word for it, did they? They had to go and find it out for themselves. They had to read the rest of the story, right? And they went to Bethlehem. They dug deeper. They found a stable with Mary and Joseph. It might have been the only one in town. And they saw Mary with this baby. They saw the Christ. They saw the Savior from David's line. As it says, that they saw the end of the story and they rejoiced because of it. Of all the things that they heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And this news had reached their souls, had made an impact upon them. And I ask you this morning, has the news of Jesus' birth made an impact upon your life? Has this good news reached your heart? Because it is news that is literally world-changing. It changes the world through the lives of those who live it out, right? Oftentimes we sing, joy to the world, let every heart prepare him room. That's the message of Christmas. Every heart needs to accept Jesus, to receive this headline, to allow him to come in and change your life. I mean, headlines of the day make little difference if it doesn't impact our lives, right? I mean, this story here in this newspaper, you know, I really don't care about knowing about time capsule, whatever it was, because I'm not part of that time capsule. I'm not part of the ages. Maybe the some of those that are a little older might say, oh yeah, I remember back in those days. I'm not going to read the article to that story the whole lot. But these shepherds had this good news and it changed their life. And I hope the message, this good news, will change you this morning. Turn our news into not just news receivers, but the news givers, because that's what the shepherds became. The shepherds heard the good news from the angels, received that message from God as a gift, and then they used that gift for God's glory, right? Because the shepherds were changed from those who receive the gift to giving the gift. I've always found it fascinating that these men of ill repute became the first witnesses of his birth. Not only did God choose them out of everyone else to make this announcement to, but they themselves became the newsmakers, right? They not only just, okay, yeah, that's a great story, we'll go and see, and then just went back to their daily lives. I mean, they became newsmakers because the message of Christmas was too great to keep quiet about. I mean, these men typically avoided crowds. They were out on the hillsides most of the time. And they avoided crowds by staying in the countryside away from people who were now giving the gift of news to others. As I've already read this morning, it says, when they, the shepherds, had seen Jesus, they spread the news concerning what had been told to them about this child. They didn't just go back to their ordinary lives as shepherds. They became newsies. Hear ye, hear ye! The announcement of the century! I can just picture them kind of... As I pictured the newsies back in the 1800s, with their hats and their kind of their vests they had, and hear ye, hear, this is a great story. Let me tell you about it. I can see that excitement in their story. They had heard the good news during the night, a song which is now sung, that they were telling others about. A song we sing nowadays, that it came upon a midnight clear, they were at night, and we're not told how long they stayed at this table. I mean, we're told that they were given this news at night, and they came. So it was probably early morning when they left this manger to return back to their flocks. But those on the street that morning heard the news. They got an earful, in fact. And this was like news like no others. Instead of being greeted with doubts, they were amazed, it says. It says there in the following verse here, Luke 18, 2 verses 18. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. And I think it's significant that these shepherds who received this news from the angels as a gift were willing to give this gift away. They didn't hold back. They didn't quietly return like we'll see the wise men next week. They gave their gift of newsmaking. I mean, we read in the story here that Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And that's so wonderful. I love that Mary just kind of thought about these things and kind of drew them in her mind. But I like the shepherds as well. They didn't just, oh, this is a great story to think about. This is something I want to just dwell upon. That's good for us to do, but sharing that story is so much better. I mean, Mary treasured all these things in her hearts, but not the shepherds. They couldn't stop praising God. They couldn't resist telling others about this news, that this gift of Jesus was for all the people. And who knows how many people and how many lives they touched that morning. It could have been quite a large number. Because we're told that they were so joyful in glorifying and praising God. They made a scene, it sounds like, and from how I read the scriptures. Because they had an amazing story to tell, right? I mean, what other amazing story could you tell that angels appeared to us? I mean, again, remember this culture. I've told you this last couple weeks here. This had been 400 years since the last prophet had prophesied about God. 400 years before the last prophet spoke. Angels were not a very common scene in those days. And now, once again, God is reaching down to earth. That heaven and earth were coming together that very night. That God is now Emmanuel. He's with us. Tremendous news that the Savior of the world was now in the world. The one that was going to come and rescue Israel from all their sins was now alive. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph told the shepherds their encounters with angels. I mean, they heard the shepherds tell them, hey, we came because we saw angels. And Mary and Joseph said, well, you know what? We saw angels too. I'm sure that those stories were shared. I'm sure they recognized Mary's humility and Joseph's obedience. But now it was the shepherds' turn to take their gift that they received to a gift to give. And here's another thought I had as we reread this story for the 100th time this last week. How did Luke, who wrote this passage, know about the newsmaking of the shepherds? I mean, we're told here in Luke chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, and also in verse 20, that when they had seen him, when the shepherds seen them, they spread the news concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd seen and heard, just as they had been told. How did Luke know this part of the story? I mean, like I said, the shepherds came after the angels and told Mary and Joseph about that. So Mary could have related that to Luke. Many people think that Mary and Luke knew each other. And Mary told Luke about the story of how the angels came to her. That's in Luke. And how these shepherds came. But how did Mary know anything about what the shepherds did after they left? I mean, I guess it's possible the shepherds came multiple times and came back the next night there and say, you know what, Mary, after we left you last night, we came and told the story to others and they were amazed at what we said. I mean, we were just glorifying and praising God. And Mary could have told that to Luke. And I suppose it's possible that the Holy Spirit said, you know what, Luke, you don't know this, but I'm going to tell you that the shepherds did go back and praise God. And so the Holy Spirit could have enlightened Luke on this. But I think what more likely the story is that this newsmaking of these shepherds was so prominent and so widespread that a lot of people heard about this, and they might have come to the manger then after hearing the shepherds making this news and say, you know what? We heard of it from the shepherds. They were just praising God this morning, so we had to come check it out for ourselves. Who knows what impact these shepherds had by making this news? I mean, think, these simple shepherds made such a ruckus in their newsmaking that word got around town about what happened that night in the stable. Word spread from these shepherds about the Messiah being born in their midst, and this gift was passed on and on because these shepherds did not remain silent. And you know what? We've been given the same gift, the same news to us. It's been to all people. No, we didn't receive it directly from the mouth of an angel, but we know that Jesus was born to save us, to save the world from their sins. So why are we not giving this message, this good news, to others? Why are we not giving this gift of newsmaking to others? We're just remaining silent many times when those in the towns around us are ignorant about this message. We should be spreading this news more and more because we know the rest of the story. The shepherds didn't know this back there 1 AD or whenever they were at this. But they don't know how Jesus continued his life and lived his life and how he came to die on a cross and was raised on Easter Sunday. We know the rest of the story. We know the rest of the news. It's much more exciting than just the birth. This Jesus who came to be born came to die for our sins, to save us. This news is much more exciting than what happened on that midnight experience announcement. We have more news about this baby that the shepherds did not. We should be out on the street corners heralding this news. We need to go tell it on the mountain. Maybe more importantly than on the mountains, we need to tell it to our neighbors. I mean, it's great to go up on a mountaintop, but who's going to hear people on the mountaintop? I mean, it's great when we sing Joy to the World that it says, and the earth will echo back its chorus, that it'll echo back its song, but who else on the mountaintop is there to hear? I mean, this news is for the people around us. It's for our lives and for our town. And it's up to us who know this news to give it to others. It's up to us to spread it to those. And it's a great gift that we can give to God this season. Yes, we can be humble like Mary. That's a great gift to have, to be humble. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to receive, just like Mary did. It's great to be obedient, just like Joseph was, and give that gift of obedience to God. But you know what I think God wants many times is this shepherd's newsmaking. Is making that news to others, telling others, giving this news to them. This is a Christmas gift that we can give God to this season. And maybe this is the way we need to honor Jesus this Christmas, to honor him, much like this drummer boy. Like I said, we can have the humility and obedience, but the news making to tell others about the birth of Jesus, it's a great to treasure up these words and ponder them, but like Mary did, but be joyfully in telling about Jesus is a lesson that we can learn from these simple shepherds. I mean, there's nothing extraordinary about them. We're told that they were just messengers that God had gifted them with. And we too have been gifted with this message to give to others. It's a gift that we too can become newsmakers. We're going to sing in a minute the song, Come All Ye Faithful. And we need to come. We need to behold him as our Savior and adore him with all that we have. But we also need to go tell on the mountain as well. We need to be newsmakers shouting these headlines. Extra, extra. Read all about it. God has come to us. Christmas is not about Santa and elves and all these things that we normally think of Christmas. It's about Jesus' birth. And we need to spread that tremendous good news all about it. God has come down to save us from our sins. This is a story truly worth the headlines that the world needs to hear.